looking at my Instagram. I'm just turning this one on. I just want to make sure that I time myself and I don't overreach myself. My name is Gideon Nash, and once again, we want to welcome you to South Street Baptist Church, and we thank God for your lives. You're amazing people, and to come here to support Sharon, Hasina, and Tanya is just an amazing thing, an honorable thing to do, and we want to say thank you so, so much. Now, today I'm going to preach on the subject from the book of Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. And the theme of this message is, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? How shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? So I'm going to read those four verses for you from the book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. This is what the writer wrote. We must pay the more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Amen. We must pay all the more attention to what Sharon has said, what Hasina has said, what Tanya has said. We must pay more attention. Today we have heard from these three wonderful ladies about their stories and the beginning of their journeys to follow Jesus Christ. They have put down the markers to define their relationship with Jesus and their eternal destinies to your hearing, even this short while. The writer of Hebrews said this, which I want to repeat. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we will not drift away. These three young ladies have said a few things that is very important. How they have now had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you and me know that when we're talking about relationship, we're talking about close communion or closeness, close fellowship, getting to know somebody intimately. And that is what they've been talking about. They've been talking about more, their own life, their journeys, the difference, the change that God has brought into their lives in a short space of time, even though all this while they've been living. All right? But I might say that life can sometimes bring its own challenges and things in our way that sometimes our five senses alone cannot comprehend or solve those issues. No amount of counseling or advice can solve. Because some of these issues need supernatural solutions. That is when God comes on his own. And when God comes and shows up, he opens his arms and welcomes you. So today, we will say this. These ladies, Sharon, Hasina, and Tanya, are people known to you. That is why they've invited you to be here with them and to participate and to witness this wonderful occasion of their baptism. Some of you may be parents. Some are friends. Some are close relatives. I don't suppose any of you is their enemies, otherwise you wouldn't be here. Some of you are even cousins and aunties and all kind of relationship. You might have known them from birth and worked with them over the years. But today, they want you to pay the most careful attention. Therefore, to what you have heard, so that you will not drift away. Sometimes life is like a river. It flows. And if you're not careful, you are drifted away and you don't know where it's taking you. There might be a cliff at the end. There might be a rapid at the end. There might be other things in it. And therefore, you need the vehicle to float in. And the vehicle that they are presenting to you and we are presenting to you today is the grace of God, is Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, who forgives sins, who shows so much love to people, and who always come alongside to help you by his Holy Spirit. Sometimes the argument is, if there is a God, how come there is badness all over? How come people are dying? How come there's hunger? How come there's war? You tell me. Is God the one who is causing wars? You tell me. Is God the person who's giving sicknesses? You tell me. Is God the one who's knifing people on our street? You tell me. So why blame God? We'll come to some of these sources very soon. For us in this church, we believe there is a God. And we know that this God loves people. And God does not want anyone to come to harm. Some of you may even be perplexed and wondering, what is going on here today? I want to bring to your attention what we call just punishment. Right. In our readings, I believe he says in verse 2, for since the message spoken through the angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore? So talking about just punishment for breaking the law, let's look at our own secular world. We will all agree that laws are not there for it to be broken, but so that there will be an orderly administration of things to prevent chaos and dysfunction in every community. That is why we have laws. Effectively, law in every society is good and not to harm us. For example, if there is no law, everyone will do what seems in his or her own eyes. Yes or no? Someone can come and take your car or other treasured possessions as long as it's good for them. What justice is that? They will come and have the things that you've actually fought for, worked hard for, saved for, as long as it's good for them. If there's no law, they get away with it. Another person may take a knife to kill someone they do not like because just they do not like the way you look. Your face doesn't fit what they describe as the perfect human being, so they can kill you. Right? And that will be all right if there is no law. Others might attempt to rob a bank or drive recklessly to injure others and even your loved ones, and that will be okay if there is no law. Now, my argument is, but we know that when we break the law of the land, we receive a just punishment. Why then do we think if we break the laws of the Almighty God, we will escape judgment? Because if there's no law, there's dysfunction. There's chaos. There's recklessness. So law, you agree with me, that is good. And the Apostle Paul said that now I know that the law of God is good. So coming back to our message again, which I want to bring to your attention, is this, Hebrews 2:2-3. For since the message spoken through angels and binding, and every violation, disobedience, receive its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. Our God is supernatural and unseen by human eyes, but his workings are there and affect our everyday lives for good if we dare to want to know him and have a relationship with him. I just want to repeat that. Our God is supernatural. We can't see him with our own eyes, but his hand is everywhere. His working is everywhere. You see the season changes. You see that you feel the wind blows. You can't even work it out how it happens. The workings of God, the flowers come, the birds sing. God is still at work. But he's working for us for good. If only we dare to want to know him. Similarly, there are unseen forces of evil and wickedness that works in the dark world whose effect on people are obvious to destroy lives. There are unseen works of darkness. Sometimes we talk about a dark world. And when we talk about a dark world, we're not talking about having a party, are we? We're not talking about having a dance, are we? Or having a rave or having a birthday party. When we talk about a dark world, we're talking about something that can be dangerous and that can harm you. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 6, verse 12. He says this, "For our struggle in this world is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." So Paul is saying that there are spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms that you do not see, but they are at work. And that causes us to struggle sometimes. We wrestle sometimes in many things that we sometimes, the feeling of emptiness and the feeling of not being happy and the feeling of everybody against you and the feeling of depression, all these things, sometimes you can use every amount of psychology to explain it. But the Bible is telling us that the unseen forces of evil that works against us, but God is for good. These works and acts of disobedience has consequences that destroy people and society. For instance, drug abuse, drunkenness, hatred, factions, enviness, unforgiveness, sexual immorality, selfish ambition, jealousy, murder, witchcraft, occult practices, and various forms of addiction. Do you know this is in the Bible? It's actually in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. You see, before you and me and our doctors and nurses began diagnosing these things, God has mentioned them already, and it's been written down. That these things are the consequences of sometimes forces of evil, or things that want to destroy us. You tell me that any of these things in your life is good? No, sir. No, ma'am. It's not good. It's there to destroy you. If we receive the retribution, punishment, and just recompense for what we do wrong, how can we escape? When we ignore God and his just laws, whilst we live. But God is not all about punishment. He's about good news. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The good news for all who receive it is this. God's word, the Bible says that we should pay particular attention today to what is being said. And it mentioned about this salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by others who heard him. And the Lord himself went on the cross to announce this salvation. And today Sharon is announcing it. Today Hasina is announcing it. Today Tanya is announcing it. And I am announcing it to you. How can we escape if we ignore such great salvation? Salvation means God rescuing you from something that will otherwise harm you, and instead putting you on the right track to reach your destiny through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The good news is that God is interested in you and is happy and ready to get you out of anything that will otherwise harm you and put you on the track for your destiny. Each one of us has a destiny. We're not just appearing in this world and going one day. We are on a journey. And even as children, you know that when you grow up, you are thinking about, oh, one day I will grow up and I'll do this. One day I'll grow up and I'll buy my car. One day I'll grow up and I'll have my house. One day I'll grow up and I'll get married. One day I'll grow up and I'll get a good job. I should have talked about a good job first before you start all these things, right? Because without a good job, you can't have these things. So we are talking about these things. And literally, you are thinking about it as a child. And I was thinking about it as a child. And thank God that some of these things has been my inheritance. And I just want you to understand that God's purpose is to take you out of anything that will harm you and to bring you to the point so that you can inherit what your destiny is. Sometimes you are on track, but something just stops you from going. And you cannot work it out, or somebody may not like you, or they will bypass you in a promotion, or you go for a job that you think, wow, I'm the most qualified person, I have the most experience, but you're not getting it. And you'll be wondering what is happening. Sometimes you get all the money and you're still not happy, and you'll be wondering, God, what is happening? I've known friends that who came from what amazing homes and had good jobs, and they committed suicide either because of drug abuse or because they lost a job at a point that they did not expect it and they couldn't handle the pressure. But Jesus Christ's salvation is to hold it all for you. Hallelujah. And this is the message that we say, pay particular attention. For God means love. Jesus came for sinners. He came to save and save those who are lost. The enemy brings lostness to people. Lostness in sinfulness. Lostness in emptiness, lostness in isolation and depression, lostness in self-harm, various kinds of sicknesses, and much more. But Jesus came to destroy the works of the evil one. Because the Apostle John wrote in his epistles, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, that anyone who sins is of the devil. That means the devil has got you. He's got your number. He's got your phone number. And therefore, you can't do anything. Your mobile phone is in his hands. He's the one who's going to pull your strings. But then Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the evil one. We read in the same John, the Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 16, says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We are talking about meaningful life that will define the rest of your life here on earth, your destiny, and your eternity. The Bible also says in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12, that as many as will receive him, as many who believe in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. People born not of flesh and blood, but born of God. This is what we call the second birth. God is talking about a new beginning. A new beginning for Sharon. A new beginning for Hasina. A new beginning for Tanya. It doesn't mean that they don't exist before. They have. They've always have. But God said, I'm going to give you a new beginning. We call it a second birth. And he says in verse 13 of John chapter 1, said that, but people not only born of flesh and blood, but they are born of God. People who are born of God. That means you are giving birth again to God. And God is supernatural. God is spiritual. And the Bible said anyone who wants to worship God should worship him in truth and in spirit. According to the Gospel of John chapter 4, verse 25. That anyone who wants to worship God must worship him in truth and in spirit. That means you need the Spirit of God in you to regenerate you, to encounter him like I'm hearing people's words here that we should pay attention, careful attention to. Say, I encountered God, and the Holy Spirit came upon me, and the people loved me, and Jesus Christ died for me. These are words that I want you to pay particular attention to, because they are not empty words. They are real words. They are words of hope. They are ancient words. The words that Jesus Christ himself spoke about. So the new beginning that Tanya, Sharon and Hasina have chosen is this. Though they had connections with church over the years, they need a new beginning like Nicodemus, a Pharisee and a teacher of the law, found with Jesus. I'd like to read this, my penultimate passage for you to, hear it. John chapter 3, verse 1 to 8. And this is how it reads. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb and be born, is it? Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, today I just want to reiterate the story that Jesus Christ has told and the discourse between him and Nicodemus. That the second birth is supernatural. It is a spirit of freedom where one is being changed or transformed into the likeness and image of God from one degree of glory to the other, ever increasing glory. This is a pathway that today Sharon, Hasina, and Tanya have chosen. I know some of you will judge them, but I will say, hold fire for now. For God will back them up with his Holy Spirit. Because God will change them from glory to glory. See, being born again is not a kind of a magical thing. God changes you gradually. And therefore, from time to time, you will see the change in their lives. Their demeanor will change. Their language will change. They will not speak Greek or Hebrew. But if they were the people who will curse you, they will look at you and then as soon as they want to curse you, they remember and say, bless you. So I just want to remind you that don't judge them. God is going to change them from one degree of glory to the other. Give them the chance and they will meet God's mark, because God is the one who changes people. Then Apostle Luke, when he was writing in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 37 to 39, this was Apostle Peter speaking, and that was written by Luke. And while Peter was addressing his audience on the day of Pentecost about the message of salvation, he reasoned with the people that our salvation all goes back to the cross of Jesus Christ, where he died for us. So that when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. This decision that you are taking, you can't take it for your children, but the consequence of these paved the way for generations to come. I was listening to Tanya, and she was telling me that her father, her grandfather, was an Anglican bishop. He didn't save her, but the pathway that he created for her mother, and for her, has actually opened up the gate for her to find Jesus for herself. And therefore, what we do here today is for a purpose. It's to create the way for the generations that come through us and after us. But they've got to find their way, because if you found Jesus and you are with Jesus, there is that opportunity that your children can come that way. Because if a child is born into a home where the parents are smoking, they will end up somehow, sometimes, not always, sometimes it's happening that is what they will see. The kind of lifestyle that our parents live at home, our kids copy that, don't they? And unless God intervenes, if it is not a good lifestyle, they will pick it up. So we are asking people not to become good people, but to trust Jesus to change them to be what God wants them to be. God will give the gift of the Holy Spirit to anyone who repents. That means who turns from his or her wicked ways and sinful ways and say, God, you know what? Today I want to take you as my Lord and Savior and forgiver and leader. Anyone who repents of his sin today, the Holy Spirit is also the Spirit that gives the believer power to stand against the temptations of the evil one. You see, it doesn't mean a temptation will not come after today. It doesn't mean that you will not do anything bad after today. Sharon, you will do some bad things too. And Hasina, you do some bad things too. And so is Tanya, you do some bad things too. But then you know what? The Spirit of God in you will tell that, you know what? This is foul. This is not what you have learned. As you read the Bible, it will tell you what is right and what is wrong, because the laws of God tells you right and wrong. That when you see red traffic light, you don't drive through. Some people do. And they get away with it. Last summer, somebody just ran through a red light and did not get away with it and smashed my car in the front. If it hadn't been for God who saved me, I would not have been here. So don't jump those traffic lights. So it is with God. Don't jump his traffic lights, because his Spirit will say, red means stop. Amber means go, no. Get ready to stop. And green means what? No chance. Green means you may proceed if it is clear. So that means not everything is helpful. Some things are green for you, but you may only proceed if it is clear and it's right before God and before man. You understand that? See, so we are learning some driving lessons here, right? Thank you. So, I just want to wrap up my message to say this, that the Holy Spirit will also give you the power to overcome every adversity that comes your way, so that you will not fight your battles with your physical strength. The Holy Spirit will give you the power to be faithful witness of your salvation. The last verse of our passage today reads like this. God also testified to it by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Now today I just want to present something. Let me have the flip chart and I'll present something to you, that just to leave some grains of sand on your mind. A very strong man. Thank you. Now, this thing that I'm looking at, I just want you to understand that God loves us and he wants us to have a relationship with him. So that is us. And that is God. This God loves us and wants us to have a relationship with him. However, we blew it by rebelling against him, and that broke that relationship with him. So because we chose our own way, we put blocks, barriers between us and God. So you may sit at church and you think church is only for times of baptism and christening. You only think about church as a time that you go and have funeral services. Or think about the church as a time that you have wedding ceremonies or Christmas ceremonies. But then there's no connection or relationship between you and God. But we said God loves us. Most of us are aware of this and do things to try to get back to God by our own effort. But we fail. We fail because when we try to get to God by our own effort, we end up in such pit. Sometimes for some of us, if only I can get more education, that will help us. But education does not get you to God, even though it's good and I've got plenty myself. Some of us would think, oh, if I can have more money, that will solve my problem. Of course, money is good. If you don't have money, it's hard, especially in this part of the world. It's not nice to be poor. But then money will not give you everything. Sometimes you can have it and you're still not happy. Most of us are aware of these facts. And our efforts, as much as we are making, fails to us. But our sins have to be punished. There should be some kind of a recompense for what we do, which means separation for God for eternity, and the end thereof is a place called hell. People don't believe that again. But I've had an encounter this year, and my eyes have seen that hell is actually real, and heaven is real. You can talk to me after that. That is the problem that most of us face. And aren't we all? We find ourselves in this. And there's nothing we can do in our own strength to change this. But there is good news. And the good news is God did it for us. What we could not do for ourselves by building a bridge to Himself. And what God did is to build a bridge. And that bridge is the cross of Jesus Christ. And if we will identify with this and say, God, you know what? We're sorry for our sins. Because we deserve to be punished, but God, you yourself chose that your son, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to become sin for us. The prophet Isaiah wrote 700 years before Jesus was born that when he comes, he will bear the sins of humanity. And he did. God did it for us. What we couldn't do by building a bridge for our sins. How is this possible? Christ paid for it by dying for us on the cross. As our substitute, he paid the spiritual death penalty that we owed. And he rose from the dead to give us his life, a meaningful life. So it is not enough just to know this. So if this is me or you over here, we say that the way to God is to use Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as that bridge that God made for us so that you and me can go back to God. We must receive Him by admitting that we have sinned against Him and by asking for His forgiveness and leadership. My friend and friends, we can go to God only through Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible tells us. The question is, where are you right now? That's us. That is God. Where are you? You need to answer for yourself. Are you there? Or are you here? And today, the message is, if we accept Him and say, God, we're sorry, He becomes the bridge for us. And now all these obstacles will be moved away. Your past is forgiven. The Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, it's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, the new has come. So today, Sharon, today, Hasina, today, Tanya, I said, look, the old has passed. The new has come because of the cross of Jesus. Shall we pray?